Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
All of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. May God add a blessing to the reading.
I've been going through a series on how or what God expects of me as a wife, husband, etc. And today we're now talking about a sufferer, someone suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ, or suffering just through life. What does God expect of me in my behavior, in my attitudes, in my life? Let me ask you a question. Do you expect to suffer for your faith? Because if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you can expect that somewhere down the line, you will suffer for your faith. Now, we're not looking to be suffering. We're not looking for trouble. But the reality is, it may well come our way. The scriptures say in 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And so as you live a godly life in a broken world, you'll find some people are actually even offended just by your life. And you'll sometimes pay a price for that. Again, it's not to say that we live in constant persecution, though many believers in the world do. They live in countries where it might cost them their life to confess Christ. It might cost them their job. It may cost them many different things. We're fortunate in that we have great freedoms here, though they seem to be diminishing a little. But at least we're grateful that for what we have at this particular time. Thomas A. Kempis said, no man is fit to comprehend heavenly things who hath not resigned himself to suffer adversities for Christ. And so we need to decide in our heart, how are we going to respond when difficult days come in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ? And since the Bible teaches about the reality of suffering for our faith, we should learn how to respond to these kinds of actions. And they come our way. I can think of many times in life where they've bounced into my life. And if you stand up for Christ in the normal life process where you work, how you work, what you do, you will sometimes pay a price. But we'll learn that there's value in that. Peter tells us the spiritual actions believers must take to be able to properly respond to persecution, suffering, or trials. First thing we must do is we must honor the Lordship of Christ. A lot of people accept Christ as Savior, but they don't really understand. It's not really sunk in. He's not only the Savior, He's the Lord. He's your Savior, He's your Sovereign. And therefore, we should live with Him under His Lordship. It says that I would first like to suggest my behavior reflects my confidence. In other words, how I live really demonstrates what I believe. And that's important. And whether I have confidence in Christ. 1 Peter 3:13. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Normally speaking, if we live in a righteous life, doing the right things, minding our own business, so to speak, we're fine. But sometimes that changes. 1 Peter 3:14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, notice this next line, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. I'm actually told in the Bible that if I suffer for doing right, I will be blessed. Now, that's a hard thing to swallow sometime. But God has promised that He will bring blessing into my life in the midst of whatever suffering I might find myself going through because of the cause of Christ. How can I have no fear of those who bring suffering into my life? Well, here's why. I am convinced, we are convinced, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Romans puts it this way, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Worst case scenario, I die and go to heaven. That's the worst case scenario. What can man do to me? They can't take away my salvation. They can't take away my joy in the Lord. They can't take away my confidence. All they can do is bring physical or mental suffering. But then it all ends. The bottom line is, I will be in glory with God forever and ever and ever. And what is suffering today will seem like nothing in terms of eternity. We don't know all the details, but we do know this. God is sovereign of the universe, and He's sovereign of everything that occurs in our lives, and we can be confident in Him. So my behavior reflects my confidence, but also my behavior reflects my commitment. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Now the old King James says, set apart Christ as Lord. In other words, make sure you've established, I've accepted, well, Lord, I've asked you to be my Savior. But understand, you didn't just ask Him to be your Savior when you did that. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord. And so in my heart, I need to set apart Christ as Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Sometimes people get a little annoyed because your commitment to Christ and your lifestyle is contrary to theirs, and they may put a little pressure on you. You can share that you do what you do because you love Jesus, you're committed to Jesus. Always respectfully, don't shout, don't yell, just clearly present your love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid to answer questions about my faith. We shouldn't be afraid. We should be willing, and we should be prepared to answer questions about my faith. When someone asks you, how do you know you're going to heaven? You should know how you come. You should know who you put your faith in. You should be able to express that confidence clearly. 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience, so I must make sure that I'm living what I say I am, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. In other words, your life should be lived as one subject to the Lord Jesus Christ, listening to what He says we should be and do. And when I do that, I am able to reflect Christ in all my life. I am respectful and confident. I'm not cocky, just respectful and confident and able to share Christ with a joyful heart. When I was in the Navy, I used to witness a lot. And I didn't realize it, but I guess I got on a few people's nerves because whenever they talked to me, yes, I would share Christ. I'd talk about the glory of God and I'd talk about heaven and things like that. So one day, a group of guys got together and they talked to the chaplain on board the ship, and they said, we have this guy who talks about Jesus, etc. We want to try and shut him down. How do we do it? Now imagine getting a chaplain to shut down a guy talking about Jesus. And so they planned the time where they got together, and I was in the barracks, or in the quarters, not the barracks, but and they surrounded me, and the chaplain comes in. He says, I understand you've been talking about the Bible. Yes, sir, I have. He says, I understand you're actually telling people that Jonah was actually swallowed by a whale. Yes, sir, I am. Son, those are stories that God puts in the Bible for us to be able to understand what he's trying to teach us. Jonah was not swallowed by a whale. Sir, the Bible says Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Son, those are just stories. And I hear that you believe that God created the world in 7 days. Yes, sir. Son, have you heard of evolution? Yes, sir. I don't believe evolution, sir. I believe the Bible. Son, those stories were put in there for God to be able to teach us things. And so he did this through a series of things. And what he did, not knowing he was trying to tear me down a little, when he walked away, I was more sure that Jesus, that the Bible was true, and that the world was created in 7 days, and Jonah did get swallowed and spit out. And nobody could talk me out of it. But I was polite. Yes, sir. No, sir. Because I'm not going to give the reason to hope there's in me by being disrespectful. But I was confident. And that's important. When someone challenges your faith, be respectful. Be skillful. Make sure you know as much as you can. And be confident. The word of God is sure, and you don't have to worry about it. What it says is true, and you can rest in that. So our lives must back up our witness. In 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So if you suffer because of your faith, that's not a problem. If someone mocks you because you love Jesus, that's not a problem. In fact, it might be very healthy to know someone actually sees Christ in you, and that you love Christ and you live for Christ, and you're willing to say that. And then if they want to mock or make fun, that's okay. It doesn't take your salvation away. It doesn't take the promises of God away. You are sure. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So the first thing I want to do is honor the lordship of Christ. And then second thing I want to do to be able to suffer well in the glory of God is to develop the mind of Christ. Here's the first thing. I need to understand his will. Listen to what he says in 1 Peter 4:1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Listen, when someone mocks you according to your faith, it doesn't make you weak. It makes you strong. It makes you more committed. If someone wants to do something harmful to you because of your faith, it doesn't cause you to crumble in your faith. It causes you to cry out to God and find that God will meet you in that cry. He says, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh. Notice this, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. When you become a believer and you commit your life to Christ, you live differently than the world. And that's a very important thing to understand. We're going to be showing a big game here tonight. We're not going to be showing the half, whatever they call it. You know, in the middle of the game. Yeah, I don't want to watch it. Because I've learned that they put some crazy things on the air. And I decide, do you make that decision? What you'll watch, what you won't watch, where you go, where you won't go, how you live, where you won't live. And so we put our fleshy nature aside and allow the Spirit of God to operate in our lives. It says, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. Notice how Gentiles live, those who don't know Christ, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. Maybe that was BC, but we're 80 after we've accepted Christ. We have a different life. And it's not a sad or miserable life or a life where you're missing out. It's a life filled with joy and wonder and splendor because Christ controls your life. And we are not interested in these things. And sometimes you're with friends or family and they're doing things and you know you're not going to participate. And they, well, what's wrong with you? You think you're a goody two-shoes? No. I feel that this is not what God would have me do. And we have to be unashamed about loving our Lord and wanting to live in a way that honors Him. Our behavior matters. And sometimes a person says, when I became a believer, I lost a lot of my friends when I became a believer. Why? Because they realize that you're not going to do some of the things you used to do. You're not the same person anymore. You're different because Christ now reigns in your life and you live your life according to the way He wants you to live. 1 Peter 4:4, with respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery and malign you. Maybe before you came to Christ, you hung out with some things you shouldn't have hung out with in terms of what Christ wants, and now Christ has got control of your life, and you're now living a different life. And hey, what happened to you, man? Well, that's a great time to tell them. I met Jesus. He forgave me of my sins, and he gave me a new life. And answer them that way. And then understand this. God wills that I'd be willing to suffer for Him. If they don't like my answer, they don't want my behavior, that's fine. I'll take whatever comes because I serve the Lord Jesus Christ and I want to serve Him with all my mind, heart, soul, and spirit. 1 Peter 4:5, but they will give account of Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead, and the living and the spiritually dead. God will judge, and we need to be aware of that. Now, if you are aware that those who live contrary to the will of God must give an account, we understand, are we exempt from accountability too? No, we are expected by God to live according to the will of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:6, for this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, and through that they'll judge in the flesh the way judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. God wants everyone to come to Christ. He'll judge the unbeliever, but also judgment begins with the household of God. He judges us. If we're not walking, and we say, I love Jesus, but we're walking in a way so contrary, God will bring correction in our life. For whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. The idea is that God will not allow people to just live their own way. He'll be causing the dead to feel the pain of their behaviors, dead and that is not saved, and He'll be causing those who believe in Christ to say, I want to live for Christ. And if you're not, He'll bring correction in your life. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded for the for the sake of your prayers. I'm to be self-controlled. I'm to be sober-minded. And God will respond to my prayers if I'm in right relationship with Him. And the end is near. Now, what does that mean? It means I don't know when it's coming. The end is always near for the believer. We know that Jesus Christ could come at any time. It could be today. It could be 10 years from now. It could be 1,000 years from now. But He could come at any time. And I'm to be living in that expectation. Let me ask you a question. What do you want to be found doing when Jesus comes back? Living wrongly or living rightly? And so if we live in the expectation that He's coming back at any time, it helps us govern our lives and keep them where He wants them to be. Now, don't let your prayers be hindered by sin either. Listen to what it says in Psalms 119. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. God wills that I be willing to suffer for righteousness' sake, and that I live a holy life despite whatever may come my way. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. In the body of Christ, there ought to be There ought to be a special, special place where we love one another deeply in the heart, because we all belong to Christ. You're my brother or sister in the Lord. We love one another, and we want to honor one another. And if we fail one another, we want to have great forgiveness in our hearts. We'll be talking about that in a few weeks, how to forgive people. And love covers a multitude of sins. When I have the mind of Christ, I have power to love even when I am not treated right. 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Now notice the next line. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God wills that I be willing to suffer for doing right. God wills that I do right even when I'm suffering. God wills that I declare Christ throughout the whole episode of life, whatever may come my way. And God wants me to glorify him. And he wants me to be faithful even in the midst of suffering. God wills that I rejoice in hope, that I know I've been given all the promises of God, which are yes. I know that this journey on earth is short, and whatever I suffer, whatever I struggle, because I believe in Christ and may suffer for my faith, whatever happens there, I can shine for the Lord Jesus Christ, because I have all the promises of God. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. There's a great day of reward coming for those who live faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I'm going through suffering, I need to remind myself that that day is coming. And one day all suffering will end, and all sorrow will end. He'll wipe tears from any eyes that need tears wiped from, and we will rejoice in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Warren Wiersbe used to say, the world does not persecute religious people. The world does persecute righteous people. It's easy. You know, sometimes you hear people say, well, the church is full of hypocrites. Well, there's a few floating around. But that's not the issue. The issue is, what are you? Are you sold out on the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I sold out on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have I decided in my heart to live for him with all my strength and my might? Have I decided that whatever comes my way, his way is the way I'm going? That's when I know I'm walking with the Lord. 1 Peter 4:14, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or a meddler. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. If I suffer for my faith, I can glorify God. God is with me, and God understands what I'm going through. He gives me what I need to go through it, and he will bless me along the way. And then it goes on to say in verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin in the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? God is constantly in the business of purifying his church. And sometimes he uses suffering or difficulty to purify it. And when we go through that, we cry out to the Lord, and we bend our will to his will, and we begin to understand what it is to serve the Lord, and the Spirit of God witnesses with our spirit, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father, and we realize that we are filled with the grace of God, and we are able to go through that particular trial. But what about those who do not obey? If we who even obey God go through times of difficulty and hardship and suffering, what about those who don't? Does that not break your heart when you're at Christmas time with your family and relatives, and you look over and you realize that this relative doesn't know the Lord, and he doesn't even want to hear a thing about God? And if you bring up God, they want to shut you down like that. Doesn't that break your heart? Because you know, because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been born again with the living hope, You know that unless they come to Christ, they are lost eternally, and your heart is broken over the difficulty. You're not so worried about how they treat you. You're worried about their destiny. And as a result of that, you respond in a godly way so that God can use your witness and your testimony to touch their lives and bring them to a place of obedience. And so we should have that feeling. Even in our suffering, we should be concerned about those who need to know the Lord. 1 Peter 4:18 says, "And if the righteous is scarcely saved, then what will become of the ungodly and sinner?" So in all my suffering, instead of just thinking about me, I think about first, how can I serve the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength? And then I think about those who don't know the Lord. And I say, Lord, can their eyes be opened? Will you use me in that process? I want to shine for you, even in an hour of difficulty, because there's nothing more important than a man or a woman come to know the Savior, be forgiven of sins, and granted eternal life. And so I want to be willing to do whatever God asks me to do. So I'd like to conclude with this. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. I believe that I can entrust my life to the Lord. I hope you do too. And I can do that which God asks me to do, to glorify Him. And whatever I go through, I pray that it will be used to break the hearts of the unsaved, to bring them to salvation, so that they too might know what I know, the joy, forgiveness, and promises of the living God. I hope that's your desire. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have put us in the family of God. And while you bring many blessings along the way, we can tell story after story of the blessings of God. We also know there are times when we pay a price for our faith. We live in a broken world. And Lord, I pray that every time we're reminded of that, it will cause us to cry out to you that our loved ones might have their eyes opened and they might open their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, be forgiven of sins, granted eternal life, and given the riches and fullness of the life of a believer. May that glorify you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.